Amen. Good morning, church. See if this is working. Yep. He's on. I know today's church service is a bit long, and I believe there shouldn't be a time put on worshiping God and coming to know God. Since it's Cultural Day, I thought that I would start off with a sermon sort of activity that gets everyone engaged. And we normally use this activity to cheer up a team before we start a something or go onto the field. So if we could get everyone on our feet, you know, we've been sitting down, and I know it's been a long service, but this little activity will hopefully, you know, boost my confidence, and hopefully that won't bore you and put you to sleep. So in Samoan, we're going to start. So when I call Millie, Millie means to rub your hands. So, you know, it's a cold morning. So when I call Millie, everyone Millie. So we're going to Millie. All right. So we're warming up our hands. So when I call Pachi, which means clap. So when I say Pachi, we all clap. Pachi. Pachia. Pachia. All right, that's good. We'll start again from the start, from the top. Millie, 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 Millie. Pachia. Pachia. Now we're going to add in another one. Lua Pachi means, who can guess? Two claps. All right. Good, Pastor Man. All right. Let's go. Mili, mili, mili. Patia. Patia. Lua pati. Lua pati. All right. And I'm going to call this, hey, hey, and I want everyone to reply in a Santa Claus voice, ho. All right. Let's give it a go. Hey, hey. Hey, hey. All right. Let's go from the beginning. Mili, 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 mili. Makwa mili, everyone. Patia. Patia. Lua pati. Lua pati. Hey, hey. Hey, hey. All right, give yourselves a round of applause. Take your seats, take your seats. For many of us, I think our cultural identities have played a huge part in our lives. I think we can witness today there's 29 different cultures that have made up our community here today. I think we can all agree that in church today we have a multicultural church, everyone from different ethnicities and cultural backgrounds. We're made up of a diverse community that gather as one through our faith. For some of us, Australia is not our country of origin. We have migrated from our countries of origin to either seek refuge, financial gain, stability, better living, or purpose or calling. With all these major changes and decisions, we can find that they come with great difficulties, challenges, and fear of the unknown. I remember back when I first migrated from Samoa to New Zealand with my parents, and the big culture shock between the two different countries was so overwhelming. I remember I started primary school for my first year. I walked into class, and there at the front of the classroom was my teacher. And my teacher started to speak, and I could not make out what she was saying. I could not understand this language that I've come to just hear for the first time coming from Samoa, a little boy coming from Samoa. I would watch my peers in class do things, stand up, line up, go to have lunch. I would follow because I wouldn't understand this language that this teacher is saying. Later on, about 10, 11 years later, I found out that this language was the English language. There was a lot of differences, and the biggest differences I found was in the way of living. I've come from a simple village life to the busy suburban life of Auckland. To paint a clearer picture, for those that don't know, I want you to cast your memories back to the Disney movie Moana. You know, that was the type of lifestyle that we had in Samoa. It was, you know, everything was so, the village life, and everything was so free. You know, you could live off the sea and the land. And then we, in Samoa, we have what we call a whale. And if you look on the screen, a whale is a house, Samoan house. Samoan house has no walls, no doors, no windows. We could see our neighbors, We had no fences that could keep us bound into our own sort of territory. Kids would run back and forth through our front yards and our backyards. It was just a free spirit, you know, just growing up in a free community where you could come and go as you please. And then we moved to New Zealand and we come to this house where it has four walls, a door, a window, fences that you got to stay within your property. Otherwise, if you step over it, you get a warning from your neighbors or you get the cops called on you. You know, neighbors shared everything in Samoa. We would share food and, you know, everything that was in need with our neighbors, we would share. In Samoa, and I know for a lot of our cultures that are here today, when it came to dinner time, they can relate. We would sit on the ground and fold our legs, and we didn't have tables. So we had woven mats that were like placemats. And on top of it, we would have a banana leaf and put on top, and then on top of that, our food will get dished out. And that's how we would eat in our Samoan culture. We would also eat with our fingers. And I know a lot of our other countrymen that are here from different cultures can relate to this. And then when we go to New Zealand, we find that there's tables, chairs. We sit around as a family and we have dinner with knives and forks and plates. These were the types of challenges and cultural differences that we faced making the transition from a simple life to the bright lights of Auckland. It's a pretty scary situation to be put in with no command of the English language, no friends, and the pace of life was bigger and faster. If you can imagine the emotions and the feelings of our parents about having to make such a big decision, questions that would have clouded their minds and doubts that would have come into mind. Are we making the right move? Will we find work? Where would we stay? Are our children going to be safe? With such a big decision to make, we would have to rely on something bigger and greater than ourselves. As we look throughout the stories of the Bible, we see similar situations where people were called to the unknown, called to places or do things that were so hard to do at the time, but through faith and guidance of the Holy Spirit, they were able to take the leap of faith and carry through no matter how difficult the situation may be. A passage that I found myself turning to help me in the past during these trials and hardships is also a passage that I believe can help us with our walk today and is relevant to the present time. It is also a passage that I know that can help us through future trials and hardships that we come through. You know, and this passage that we will be looking at was written by the great and wise King Solomon. So we will be taking our reading today, if you could turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Proverbs, it says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So I really wanted to unpack this passage into four parts and look further into what this passage in Proverbs is really asking of us as Christians. You know, the hardest times that we often go through, we find that we try to plan things and we hope that everything will turn out right, but in reality, the doubt of the fear of what lies ahead can completely take us off track. Without realizing that we try to trust on our own instincts. You know, we go 100 miles per hour. You know, I got to do this, I got to do that. We spend a lot of time guessing and wondering, have I prepared enough? I think I've over-prepared. I think I've missed something. We are so caught up being under pressure that we crowd our minds with doubt and worry. But if we look into Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, it starts with trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does it mean to trust? Trust can be found in different situations and in different ways. One of the greatest examples that I can bring is in a sports team, one of the first things that you establish as a team is trust. You have to trust your player and your teammates. And I can only think of the greatest team in the sporting world, and I know Mark and Matt will disagree with this, but the All Blacks, you know, world champions. There's a reason as to why they operate so well, because there's trust that's been built within them. Trust with the management that they have the right game plans. Trust within the team itself, the forwards. The backs have to trust the forwards to lay the foundation for the backs to do what they do. Trust on your inside man. Trust on your outside man. This is what we sort of see in trust within sports teams. There's also trust in relationships. Husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. I think some of you might not agree with this, but we've got to trust our mechanics. You know, we've got to trust that, you know, they do the right job and charge us right. And I know, being a barber myself and a hairdresser, you know, the customer needs to trust in me that I've got to give them the right haircut, otherwise they'll walk out looking silly. But what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all our heart? God's plan is for us to trust in Him. You know, I sat and I was wondering how could I talk about this trust? And I thought back to my life that earlier, when I had no relationship with God, I found it so hard to trust or trust Him. And like in relationships, we need to have a relationship with God in order for us to trust Him. How can we trust in something or someone if we don't have that relationship with Him? So it's important here that, you know, we got to seek God through His Word. Seek God through our prayers. Have that intimate relationship with Him so we know that we can lean and trust on Him and Him alone and not in things of this world. Because I believe from a Christian perspective, the definition of trust means trusting in God and not in other things of this world. And lean not on your own understanding. How many times have we gone to do something based purely on our own knowledge? And we've found that later on that we start saying, oh, if only I seek God. If only I had done this, if only I had done that. You know, when I can remember when I was leaning on my own knowledge was when I was growing up and I had a family, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, drinking, drugs, everything, partying, thinking that my friends and my family were the way to, you know, to invest my time. I had a wife that was at home looking after two boys, and I was busy, you know, trying to please everyone and thinking that I knew what was right. I know how to run my family. I know how to run a business. I know how to do this. I was investing my time in all this and things that didn't matter. It wasn't until God pulled me from New Zealand and brought me here to Australia and started isolating me and putting me away from the environment that I was so used to and trusting in myself and trying to do things on my own knowledge. It wasn't until then, and I started investing time into knowing Him, that the Lord started giving me the right mind and the right knowledge to lead my family. I started understanding what time investment into the people that mattered the most, which was my wife and my kids. Here He started to show me, because I was investing my time in Him, He started to show me that giving me the right knowledge and to make wise decisions for my family and to lead my family as a father. Here I leaned on my own knowledge and understanding, which was so naive of me because I thought I knew it all. These are just a few examples of the foolish mistakes that we can make when we lean on our own understanding. God wants us to seek Him. He wants us to seek Him for His knowledge. And how do we do that? Well, if we look at Proverbs 1, verse chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We need to fear. We need to be in reverence with the Lord in order for Him to start giving us the knowledge to do things in life. He will start giving us the wisdom to make the right decisions for our families and for just life in general. We must always lean on His understanding and not our own. In verse 6, we see, "In all of our ways acknowledge Him." What does it mean to acknowledge Him? And how is that done? Why does it matter to acknowledge Him? I've come to believe this. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him means to acknowledge His right to be a part of absolutely everything in our life. Acknowledging Him when we wake up in the morning, "Thank you, Lord." Acknowledging Him when we have breakfast, "We give you praise, Lord. Thank you for my kids. Jump in the car, dropping them off to school. Thank you, Lord, for today, this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for work. Thank you for your provision." Just acknowledging Him in every aspect of our life. And whether it's good or bad, hard or easy, we need to always acknowledge the Lord. That's what He wants. He wants the glory. He wants the acknowledgement. Throughout our journey, going from different cultures and changes, we have Him to thank, Him to acknowledge for how far we have come to get to this very point that we are now in life. When we acknowledge Him, we acknowledge and we recognize and accept His existence and truth. And finally, He will direct your paths. We often see so many times our paths go astray. We reach dead ends, or we end up going round and round like a dog chasing its tail. You know, we go around and we end up with the same paths. We slowly start to lose our way. What we think is the right path will either work for us temporarily or lead us far, far away from God. But the blessing and the reward that comes from trusting in the Lord and leaning on His understanding and acknowledging Him is that He will start to guide us through the right path. He will go before us and smooth out any of the bumps and hardships of our walks. Now, I'm not saying that when we do this, our life is going to be straight and direct and perfect. That's not what God wants of us. The trials and the hardships that we go through help us to mold us as Christians and for the betterment of our lives to be Christian. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the Lord, He will start going before us and directing our paths into, you know, paths for us to prosper and not destruct. So we must understand that He, once we start doing these things, trusting in the Lord, we start leaning on His understanding and we acknowledge Him for everything that we do, I tell you, He will start leading us and our families into doing the right decisions, making the right decisions, going through the right paths. Sometimes we find ourselves searching for things that we never find. We chase things that we would never catch. We are so caught up in the cycle of life that we try to find answers to our problems and situations by turning to things of this world. We depend on our own strengths and our own knowledge, and that's what blinds us from reality. What is reality, one might ask? Reality is this. The only way that you can move forward and the only way that you can overcome these hurdles and troubles in life is through one person, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only way, and there is no other way. So my encouragement to our church today, family and friends, this morning, no matter what our backgrounds or our cultural upbringings we've had, hardships and trials from making moves from different countries and coming to this beautiful country that we call Australia, no matter what trials we've had in the past, you know, what matters now is what we have today. What matters is what we have today and for the days to come. I encourage you to seek Him. Make Him your first priority. Start opening your Bibles and submit yourself to Him in prayer. Have that personal relationship with Him. Make Him your priority, and only then you will start to find purpose and reason for your life. Only then you will start to understand the importance of trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning on Him for the knowledge to make wise decisions for our lives and our families. By having this relationship, we then know the importance of acknowledging Him, giving Him the praise. Give the glory and praise that He deserves. And we will start to find is that the fear of what we had of the unknown and what lies ahead starts to become less and less because we are trusting Him more and more. And before we realize it, our journey and paths have become much more clear and easier to walk due to Him leading and blessing our way. So whatever challenges that lie ahead of us for the week that is to come, I want us to stand firm, and I want you to remember this sermon today. Remember Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I know there'll be people out there that are wanting prayer. And as we close up today and we get into prayer, I'd like everyone to stand. And anyone that wants prayer, that they want to reestablish their trust in their walk with God, come forward. We have deacons and pastors up here that can pray for you. Anyone that's going through any trials and hardships, even if you want to get things back on path with God, come forward, and as we do this prayer, we'll have people that can pray for you. Thank you very much for having me today, and I hope that the sermon is for those who have been needing it, And I hope and I thank Pastor Matt and our church for allowing me to come and share this word with you today. All glory is to Him, not me. And thank you to the Lord for giving me the opportunity to share His word with you. And I just really give the praise and glory to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this multicultural community that we have at Kruger Baptist. We thank You for Your guidance to the many families that have chosen Australia to be their place they can call home. We ask that You continue to build this church family to serve our community by spreading Your gospel and making more disciples, Lord Father God. We ask for Your blessing upon those who have come to seek Your word today. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your provision throughout this week. We ask, Lord, that You may go before us this week, Lord Father God, and whatever troubles and trials that we go through, Father, that we remember to trust in You and that we remember to lean on Your understanding and acknowledge You, Father. I pray, Father, that Your hand be on this congregation, Lord Father God, and that we may continue to grow and prosper. All in Your mighty name may we all say, Amen.